Greetings, illusion astronauts.
Yeah, I don't usually do that. Welcome, everybody. It's our Falcon and the Winter Soldier recap and review podcast. Today we're talking about episode 5. It's just called Truth, which, little known fact, that's what the kanji in the anime Akira also stands for. I bet it's a reference to that. I'm James, and this is Chad.
I'm Chad.
I haven't been on my Falcon and the Winter Soldier rewatch podcast in a while.
Listeners, the truth is that James really likes the boat scenes, so he didn't want to be in any episodes that didn't have the boat scenes in it. So,
no, the boat is my favorite character, and the sea is my second favorite character, and it's a bit like Milhouse at the fireworks factory. I'm like, when are they going to put the boat in the water?
Right. What about the boat?
They've been teasing this Chekhov's gun for 5 hours now. When are they going to shove off already? This episode, again, like as soon as these come out, I'll get a message from one of my friends being like, "Oh, I thought this was a really good one," and then I'm like, "What? What? This is the worst one."
Yeah. Yeah, this one was slow. It, like, we brought the plot to a screeching halt, and they just kind of doubled down on all the worst parts of the show so far.
And we'll get to it, but I thought that this was, like, a lot of the scenes towards the end of this episode, I'm like, well, this is the last episode. I don't know why you would have a scene after this one. We've ended the show. But whatever. We'll get it.
Yeah. Like,
maybe the next episode will justify it.
Right. Because we got like the emotional growth that we were expecting from. Like, that was the point of the show, was like dealing with, you know, the loss of Steve. And now all that's left is, you know, we have to bash some faces in.
Right. They didn't just wrap up like the character arc. They also basically wrapped up, like, the political message that's underlying the plot as well.
Right.
With a big, like, confrontational scene between Sam and Isaiah. And it's like, what is there left to do? Oh, I guess just, like, fight it out at the end. The episode begins with a kind of, well, it picks up exactly where the last one left off. And there's a kind of a good fight scene here where Bucky and Sam just like beat the shit out of John, the evil Captain America, and he never really stood a chance because he probably has the exact same serum that Bucky has, but he's had it for less. And then like Sam is there as well, and although Sam like isn't really able to fight on par with the two of them together, they do like kind of easily overwhelm him. Like, he puts up a pretty good fight, but it never really seemed like he was getting out of this to me.
Yeah, there was only one moment where he kind of had the upper hand, and that was when it looked like he was going to try to, you know, use his decapitation technique on Sam with the shield. But yeah, that was it. And the rest, you're right, he was overwhelmed. Him ripping off the Falcon wings was pretty cool, though.
There was really creative ways that they got, like, for Sam to go, like, you know, head-to-head fighting someone with these wings, like the way that he used the jetpack even after the wings were torn off, which was a bit cool to see.
Yeah, it kind of makes you realize, like, he's not just a guy. Like, it's not just another pilot. Like, maybe he did have some kind of, like, special training or something. Like, he's that adept.
And then they fucking break his arm. Like, they break it all the way around.
Yeah, God, that was...
the shield off.
Oh, that was horrible.
And then they take the shield and they just kind of leave him, like, crying on the floor. And I was like, I don't really feel good about what just happened to Sam.
So, yeah, they take the shield. And before they walk away, Bucky picks up the shield, and, like, he's wearing it. And he walks over to Sam, who's laying on the ground. And for, like, a split second, I thought he was going to be like, I'm taking this. Like, I can't trust you with this. And, like, he was just going to run with the shield. And then he just kind of, like, drops it and walks away. But, like, I don't know. There was a shot where, like, he was in the light and he had the shield. And it looked like, here's our new Cap. And then they just threw it away.
Oh, I also thought that, too.
Yeah.
Like, his, like, kind of his one ring moment.
Right.
He does end up passing it to Sam. I think that was deliberate. Oh, yeah. As if maybe Bucky was, like, reevaluating Sam in that moment. Like, do I really give it to him? This is what Steve wanted to, but he didn't end up accepting it. I did kind of expect him to say something. Like, maybe, like, don't give it away this time, or something like that, but he ends up saying nothing.
Yeah.
The next scene, I was so, like, ready to like it, and a lot of good stuff happened in it, but ruined by one extremely stupid moment. So, Bucky leaves to track down Zemo, and he finds him in a really logical place. He finds him in the I don't know, like the war memorial after Sokovia was destroyed by Ultron and his army of robots. And he's there just like paying his respects to the family that he lost and all his countrymen. And he explains to Bucky that, you know, zealots like him, political ideologues like me, will basically never give up unless you kill us. And so that is the solution to your situation with Carly. You're not going to be able to talk her down. You're not going to be able to bring her over. You've just got to kill her, just like you have to kill me. And that was good. That was a good scene. And I liked the dialogue in this scene, too. And then they absolutely ruined it with the stupidest thing where Bucky points a pistol at Zemo, pulls the trigger, click, it's empty, and then drops the bullets on the ground. And who was that for? Was he in the canon of the story? Was he trying to build dramatic tension for Zemo? It was so dumb.
I think they folded in his personal arc with Zemo, where like Zemo is saying like you need to kill, but Bucky is trying to not be an assassin. So I think there was like something didn't. You're right though. Like something there didn't mesh properly, and I think that it wasn't. It wasn't choreographed or telegraphed to us that like that's what he was trying to do, was to not rely on murder, you know. Not that I'm defending it, because you're right, it seemed a little bit awkward.
I'm just trying to understand, like, what you're saying kind of makes sense here, but just the sequence of events, like lift the gun, pull the trigger, click, it's empty, drop the bullets on the ground,
right?
What was he trying to communicate to the other character in that scene? Like,
that it was literally for us watching, and maybe himself. It's like Zemo must have been so confused.
Yeah, it was just for us to be. Oh, he's not really going to do it, is he? Oh, he's not really going to do it. Then why did he do it? Like,
right? There was no tension between them over. You're right. You're right. You know, and it's funny because I hadn't thought of that until just now. But how weird.
Right, Zemo's getting carted away by the Royal Guard of Wakanda, and he's just like, that guy's fucking insane, man. I have no idea what's happening. The next thing I did kind of like, but it is just all character dialogue. Okay, so we're gonna do this scene here, our version of it. So I will play the judge, and Chad, you're gonna play Scott Walker, okay?
Okay.
That's Scott Walker. That's Scott Walker's the governor.
John Walker.
Some shitty state. Yeah. John Walker. Okay. Yeah, Scott Walker is some lame ass. I think he's the shitty previous governor of Wisconsin. Not important. Okay.
Right. A different podcast.
All right. Edit in gavel noises. Bang, 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 bang. John Walker, you stand accused of killing the guy that we told you to kill, but you didn't kill him in the right way or in the right place that we wanted you to, and so you cannot be Captain America anymore. How do you plead?
I am Captain America. I did what you told me to do. I'm gonna be Captain America anyway. Bye!
No, you can't do that. Give us back the shield.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I left. I feel like someone should have stopped me, considering I'm, like, on trial.
But it is funny that... So I was talking about this with another one of our friends. And if this had played out in real life, not only would John Walker not be stripped of Captain America, but, like, he would have... His popularity in America would explode.
Oh, absolutely.
And he would have so many defenders on the right wing of the political spectrum. I can just imagine, like, the right-wing commentary being like, yeah, Captain America killed a terrorist. What do you think Captain America's supposed to do? Is he supposed to kiss the terrorist on the cheek? This is why we're out there fighting the terrorists. These are murderers that he killed out in the streets. Oh, you don't like the way he did it? Well, guess what? That's what war is, all right? It's messy and it's violent. And sometimes you cut someone's head off when they're lying prone in the street.
Right, begging you to let them go.
Yeah, not only would John Walker not lose his Captain America status, or whether or not, even if he did, he would be rocketed to, like, presumptive frontrunner of the Republican presidential primary.
Yeah, get this man a second shield.
Like, what would be happening is, like, the Republican ticket would be Walker Rittenhouse 2024, basically. And don't think it would have played out this way. And he, like, because think about it. And I'm not trying to defend his actions. Like, surely that guy was, like, defenseless, prone on the street. But he was a violent terrorist who was participating in the murder of innocent people and had just killed another, like, what, like a service member? I don't know if these guys are still in the military or whatever. But he just killed Captain America's sidekick, or at least participated in the killing of Captain America's sidekick. And so what? So Captain America killed him! Shit like this happens all the time at war, not, you know, surrounded with civilians with cameras. But it just seemed crazy to me. It reminded me of an opening scene in the movie American Sniper, which, again, I don't think that's a horrible movie, but I didn't like it. Just because it's kind of shittily made. But there's an opening scene where he's got, like, his sniper targeted on someone. The main character does. And his backup is like, listen, man, you gotta make sure he's got a weapon before you take a shot. If you take a shot and that guy doesn't have a weapon, they're gonna send you to Leavenworth. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're just gonna move on right along. And, I understand why this happened.
Yeah, he's not Captain America.
It didn't seem realistic.
He's not Captain America to the real America. He's Captain America to, like, the idealized, like, weird, you know, our shit doesn't stink America. You know, the one that you you read about when you're a kid, where we always do the just and right thing all the time. And because, you know, blood splatter is scary looking. That's the America that Captain America represents. And, it's not the way that the world is.
Well, no, he's the actual Captain America. He's the Captain America, you know, representing America's presence on the actual international stage, where we bust into your country, totally disregard whatever rules of sovereignty that they have here, and just, you know, kill a terrorist any way we like.
I'm saying that the America in Marvel is that America, the one that doesn't exist.
Right. It's just funny that the judge, is like, well, you're basically being fired for killing this terrorist in a way that was bad PR for us. You should have done it traditional American style. You should have droned a building full of his family and friends during a wedding just to kill him.
Oh my gosh.
That's how we do things in this country, Mr. Walker. Right. And so they kick him out. But, I didn't know this character beforehand, but in the next scene, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine Bennett from Seinfeld, shows up and basically tells him more or less, you know, what we were saying. Like, I think what you did was cool and good. You should come do it again for me. And she, I guess, is playing a character named Val, who is Lady Hydra, Madam Hydra? Have I got that right?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's one of the names that she picks up. But she actually works for an organization called Leviathan in the comics, which is like Hydra, but for the Russians.
Okay.
Yeah. So she in the comics, she was introduced as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and she was like really good, like rivaled Nick Fury good. and then she joined Hydra, but I believe it was just to like kind of take them out from the inside. But then after that, it was revealed that she was a Russian sleeper agent for Leviathan, and like all along. And so she's, I think she's, the last thing that happened to her was she's in jail now for, like, she turned herself in and is in jail. But yeah, she's part of like the Russian Hydra called Leviathan. But her story is really complicated, as spies are.
But she's a bad guy, and everyone online is saying that this is more foreshadowing of the Dark Avengers.
Yeah, or the Thunderbolts.
The evil superhero team, basically. Right. The Homicide Squad. And it's going to be, John Walker and the white version of Vision.
Really?
Some other characters. Well, that's what people say, yeah.
Zemo. He's going to be part of it. For sure.
Perhaps Zemo and Thunderbolt Ross is going to be the Red Hulk, which I guess he is in the comics. That sounds weird to me, but whatever. Maybe they can pull it off.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, that's the fact that Thunderbolt Ross is there is why people are saying it's going to be the Thunderbolts.
In the next scene, Sam brings the shield back to Isaiah Bradley, all the way back from episode 2.
Real quick, how did he get home? He had to have chartered a flight. He had to have gotten a plane ticket. He had to have brought a vibranium shield on an airplane internationally. Right.
Did he check that?
Like, how did nobody stop him?
I assume Torres flew him back on an Apache helicopter or something. Can those do transatlantic flights?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Right. Well, it's like in Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
It's like in the underground prison somewhere in Europe. And he just like gets back to Gotham City the next day. At Isaiah's house, he wants to learn the truth of, like, again, there's all these super serum programs that, you know, we're only just now finding out about. America had one in the 50s, 60s, and they basically experimented on black soldiers without their knowledge, this is based in reality.
Yeah.
That there were human experimentations done in the military on black soldiers without their knowledge. I forget exactly what it was, but like they were injecting them with certain diseases to see, like, oh, I wonder what happens if you have this disease. Pretty fucked up shit. So this is kind of borrowing that real world situation. And so they made a couple of successful superheroes. Isaiah was the best. Some of them got caught behind enemy lines, and the government was worried that they would lose the secret of the super serum to their enemies. So they were going to bomb the camp, but then Isaiah broke out and saved them. And so in retaliation for that, they more or less like disappeared him. They put him into jail and erased his existence.
Yeah, well, notably, he was the only one to survive. The ones that he saved, I guess, like it just took him longer to die. He said, like, I broke in and I saved him, which is funny because that's exactly what Captain America did, you know, when he saved Bucky. He broke in and saved a bunch of POWs, and then he came back a hero. Isaiah came back and was, you know, thrown in jail and taken apart and studied.
So Sam wonders, like, you know, if things had played out differently, you know, perhaps you could have been the second Captain America, you know, and Isaiah basically shoots that down. And he's like, no, they would never let a black man be Captain America, and truly, no black man should want to be Captain America, considering the terrible history of racial injustice. And you know, Sam seems to mull over that thought, but he doesn't make a reply right away.
Yeah.
And well, this is interesting, because clearly, like, everyone assumes, and because it happened in the comics, and they're pushing it pretty hard at the end of Endgame and in this series here, that Sam is going to be the next Captain America. He's absolutely going to put on the Captain America suit that he got made for him in the next episode.
Was that confirmed that it's a new suit?
If it's not, if it's something other than a new suit, that'll be pretty random.
I guess so, yeah. It's like, I got you these necklace.
Right, here's your new Falcon wings. They're red, white, and blue. So were the last ones. But what the interesting part about it is that they're clearly trying to set up here that, like, And it is funny the way that, like, you know, in terms of America's role in international politics, represented by Steve Rogers, that's kind of an idealized, romanticized version of America. But in terms of America's, like, racial politics, they are kind of doing a more realism attempt, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they are kind of show here that this is not the simple, a good and evil version of Captain America that Steve embodied, that Sam's Captain America will be somewhat more grounded in
reality.
Contemporary politics, yeah. And realistic situations, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Sure, go ahead and do it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious if they're going to pull that thread through what I assume will be another trilogy of movies. You know, is it going to be about... are they going to keep this racial injustice theme in Captain America, or are they going to just think to themselves, well, we covered that in Falcon and Winter Soldier, and now he's going to be the new Steve Rogers?
Yeah, Marvel likes to do that.
Yeah.
Just bring up an issue, lampshade it for a bit, and then, well, we addressed it.
Yeah,
we addressed it a little bit, so we're moving on now.
Because that would be really interesting, and it's also interesting that in a series of movies titled Captain America, it does very little to actually reflect on America.
Yes, although I will say, the Winter Soldier does a better job of it. Civil War, really, not so much.
No, that was about
Civil War is
fighting.
More or less like it's like, what is the role of a superhero in modern times, but it's like, well, that's not even a real thing. Anywho, they head back to, is it Louisiana? I feel like I should know by now, but Sam goes home and he wants to help his sister fix up the boat to sell it, but what's this? His sister no longer intends to sell it. She's gonna fix it up and continue to work on the boat, I guess. Hooray!
Yay! Everybody wins?
She basically... Sam, in episode one, changed her mind. She just needed to think about it for a while, and eventually it worked. And Sam thinks about how their parents were community leaders and everyone loved them, so they should just call everyone in the community who knew their parents and be like, hey, can you give us a rudder, and you give us a boat engine, and we'll stone soup this boat back into the water.
And it works.
It works, and Bucky shows up, and he's helping to fix the boat too, and everyone in the community's there. We're fixing the boat. There's a montage. I don't remember what song is playing in my mind. It's "Come On and Let the Good Times Roll," and they're fixing up the boat.
There was one moment in the montage, or right just before it started, where like something was spraying or something, and Sam was having trouble like tightening something, and Bucky comes over and he grabs it with his non-metal arm and he fixes it, and Sam says, "Why didn't you use your metal arm?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm right-handed. I forgot. Like, I forget about it." And I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, well, I didn't hate this part. As I was watching it, I was just thinking, well, this is the end of the show. Yeah. This is what would happen at the end of a movie.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like we skipped over the climax and went straight to the end. And then we got to go back to the climax.
They picked it up. They're like, okay, so we'll do the resolution and then the climax. This is some avant-garde filmmaking.
Right. Yeah, for them, people said Marvel wouldn't take risks.
We get an interesting scene where John talks to his friend Lamar's parents, and he don't necessarily think he lies. He just, you know, doesn't give every little detail. He's like, yeah, this was the guy who killed your son. Well, he didn't actually kill him, but I mean, what, he was there and fighting on Carly's side when she killed him. So I really think we're splitting hairs here to try to paint the dude that John killed as innocent. He wasn't.
Yeah,
if he didn't personally stab Lamar, even if he didn't personally blow up that building full of innocent people, he was still like contributing to the cause or whatever.
So
the Flag Smashers fucking suck, man.
Yeah, they do. I still don't really understand their motivations. And I don't know if we talked about it on the pod or not, but there's the like a lost storyline about a pandemic that they cut because there's a pandemic. I feel like they may have made more sense in the proper context, but right now it's just weird. Anyway, so I have a question for you about that scene with John Walker. And when he stretched the truth about killing Battlestar's murderer.
Lamar's killer.
Killer, yeah. Was he doing that to give them closure, or was he doing that to save face himself? Because if he was doing it to help his family, Lamar's family, that says something different about the character than what is actually like a prideful thing where he's like, no, I did it. I killed the guy who killed my friend. You know, like, it's a different kind of lie.
I also thought about that, and I think it's a combination of the two, and perhaps also that he's, like, now convinced himself that, what I did was right. I did the right thing because he killed Lamar. And maybe, as I said, you know, we're kind of splitting hairs here. What does it matter? Well, I killed one of the bad guys who was trying to kill me.
Yeah.
And tried to kill Lamar.
I think it just says something to what they're going to do with the character going forward. Because, like I said, John Walker is not a villain in the comics.
No, he's not like a evil mastermind in the show either. He's just a big dumb idiot.
but I mean, like, he does in the comics, he continues to do things for good as well as for evil. Like, he's like broken. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I'm curious to see what they do with him in the next episode, because this is not the last time we see John Walker, even though his story seems to be tied up.
Right, everyone's story is resolved. Even, like, you could even say, like, at this point, if we were done with the Flag Smashers, it would be fine. What, they rose to a level of prominence, they got a very strong reaction, they got a very strong response from the authorities, and so they went underground to be seen at a later date, perhaps, or maybe, you know, they'll just disappear like that bad guy from the Hulk who never resurfaced.
So in this episode, we see Carly, and she's like, now is the time, we're going to do the thing now. And, like, it's this vague thing.
Right, it could mean anything.
What are they trying to do?
Okay, but we're not there there.
Sorry.
So, then we get a Sam and Bucky training with the shield montage, and we also get the emotional climax of their character arcs.
Yep.
Where Sam has decided, well, I think it's kind of discussed in terms of, like, what's going on with Bucky, where he's like, you can either accept the shitty things that you did, or you can put in the work, as Sam says, to actually make amends and right the wrongs of your past and turn over a new leaf into something positive. And he's saying this to Bucky about Bucky's situation, but also he's like saying it to himself about the Captain America situation and about America in a larger sense.
Right.
And that was interesting conversation. It resonated, and it was clever writing. And again, I was like, and roll credits, because we're done.
Yeah. It goes to show that when they want to, Marvel can do interesting things with their stories. I think that it's really just the studio not wanting to take risks, so everything is paint by numbers. But, like, every now and then you see, like, a crack of something really interesting. And I think WandaVision, the entire show, was a crack of something interesting that, I mean, you could argue didn't pan out as interesting as it should have been. But I think that this moment where, like, everything had two meanings and it was kind of wrapped up in a nice bow, the like you said, the emotional climax of these characters, both macro and micro. I don't know. Missed opportunities somewhere in there.
But it is like, as you said earlier, like, they shot this in a certain order, and they're like, okay, we've got the big cap fight scene, and followed by the resolution in Louisiana where they fix up the boat and talk about their feelings. And then at some point they're like, why don't we just swap those around? Move those around.
Right, because would the story really have hurt if, like, he took the shield, had the big climactic fight, and then had this scene where, like, he decided to take on the moniker. Like, are we going to gain anything?
This whole series, while it's brought up some interesting issues vis-a-vis, like, politics of the MCU or whatever, which, you know, I don't hate. I think it's a little interesting. The whole thing is unnecessary. We just assume that Sam accepts the shield when Steve gives it to him at the end of Endgame. This whole series is like, oh, but he had to think about it first.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Nothing really changed, huh? I mean, well, we reintroduced some characters, but we didn't need to. I mean, Zemo is back in jail. In fact, if you had told me that one line, we transferred Zemo to Wakanda, there's Zemo's, and he's where he would have been.
Right. Yeah, he didn't have to be in, like, Interpol jail with Bilbo. He could have just gone to Wakanda in the first place.
Right.
Anyhow. And this is where the episode, like, really goes to shit at the end here. We go back to Sharon Carter, everyone's favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
And she is speaking to her French terrorist's contact. What? She's doing bad guy stuff, I guess? No. And then there's a scene that you were mentioning earlier where Carly and her, like, unnamed flag smasher friends, who I watched this with the subtitles on, and, like, you know, they'll name the character if the character's not on screen, and it'll just say Flag Smasher 1, Flag Smasher 2.
No
way. So they didn't even give these dudes names. Yeah.
That's so funny.
And they're in America now. What are they, in New York City? I guess so. They look up at the timeline of the city, and that's supposed to be like, oh shit, they're in New York City. But I didn't even recognize any of the buildings, so I'm just assuming. And he's like, we're going to finally, I don't know, kill everyone at the GRC. What? Carly, we don't have the strength to do that. Don't worry. I called in some backup. And who do we see but the French pirate from the beginning of the Winter Soldier? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no, not him. He's got a jumpsuit.
And he's got a name. His name is apparently Bartruck.
The Leaper.
The Leaper. This guy is lame as fuck, man. And like, he was kind of cool in the beginning of the Winter Soldier, because he's, you know, Captain America's like, all right, I'll put down the shield and fight, you know, fair or whatever. And this guy, oh, I guess he held his own against Captain America, but I mean, he still went down. There was still never any sense that he would have beaten Steve. But now he's back. He's back for everyone that remembers him. I mean, truly, who gives a shit? They could have had any large dude show up, and it would have had the exact same effect. It's just like, well, don't worry, I got backup. It's a big guy with a gun.
I feel like an idiot, because every time this guy appears on screen, I don't remember him. You just mentioned the fight in the beginning of the Winter Soldier. When I watched that movie, I loved that movie. I don't even remember him in the movie. But, like, everybody online, everyone that I talk to, remembers him from the beginning of that movie. And then they recognized him in the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I didn't recognize him.
I didn't recognize him then either. But I did, for some reason, I recognized him now.
If nobody told me that all three of these scenes are with the same character, I would never have known.
Yeah, it's just the French terrorists, and sorry, I've been calling them French terrorists. They're not French terrorists. They're from Algiers. And so they're just Francophone terrorists. They're not actually from France. he wants revenge on Sam, because I guess Sam is friends with Steve. Or no, he wants revenge on Sam for the first action sequence in episode 1, perhaps. It truly doesn't matter. If this character doesn't die in the next episode, I'm going to be really annoyed, because I'm sick of him.
He's going to join the Dark Avengers. He's the leader of the Dark Avengers. He's the linchpin.
So she wants to go kill the GRC. The GRC are having their meeting. And again, like, They're just being like, I want to do the evil thing and oppress the people. No, we can't oppress the people that much. We should only oppress them this much. I think we should oppress them the least amount. And just then the lights go out and the screen turns red and, you know, the laughing puppet face from Saw appears on the monitor. And that's the cliffhanger. Because, you know, Carly and the Flag Smashers, as super soldiers, pretty big threat, but now they have a kinda big French guy with a gun.
Right.
And so they're unstoppable.
Yeah, I'm really curious how they're gonna pull this all together in the end. And make it make sense. Because if you go back and you just watch the Flag Smashers scenes, are they doing anything? Do they have a goal?
No, they're bringing vaccines and then they're just antagonizing the UN basically. And every scene they're in, one of them is just like wistfully looking off into the distance and being like, "Do you remember the broad strokes of our backstory when we did this and that and then got the serum?"
Yeah, I wonder if they had to cut so much.
I hate
out
them,
of the,
man.
Out of...
They suck.
I wonder if they had to cut so much out of the plot, or rather out of what they shot to cut out the pandemic storyline, and they just kept reshooting like their backstory shots, and they just spliced them all in there.
And so, we're setting up for this confrontation in New York,
where everything happens.
We also have a post-credit scene. Where John Walker is putting together his own Captain America shield. He's cut a plastic trash can lid into a circle and he's glued his Congressional Medal of Honor to it. And you just absolutely know there's going to be a part where like he throws this at Sam and Sam throws the real shield and the real shield splits that one in half and clonks John in the head, and then John plummets like a 60 feet and lands, and so he's out of the fight and he goes to the raft too or whatever. That is for sure going to happen exactly the way I described it.
That would be funny. Right, because there's no way that the shield, like, it can't. The whole point is that it's made out of vibranium.
Yes, and so if you just make a shield out of aluminum, it's not going to do anything. It's going to be like the situation that Doc Brown described if you tried to crash a DeLorean into a
54 Chevy, yeah.
And so, what are our, can we talk briefly, Chad, predictions for the last episode? As I said, Cap shield cuts through the fake shield and knocks John, and John falls, but he doesn't die because he's a good character and they're going to want to reuse him.
I think that they're going to have a big fight with Carly and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then John Walker's not really going to show up until the end. And I think that they're going to beat the Flag Smashers. And then John Walker's going to show up and he's going to very publicly murder them all and leave without fighting Bucky and Sam. And he's going to be like,
"Interesting.
There, I did a good thing. I'm Captain America."
I think that there will be a moment where Bucky probably fights Carly, the Flag Smashers, and I want to say Bartok, but I guess his name is Batroc. I'm going to call him Bartok because it's easier for me to say. Bucky is going to dispatch with the Flag Smashers and Bartok, and Sam is going to be dressed as Captain America, and John is going to be dressed as Captain America. And they will have a Captain America off. And I think there will be a moment where Bucky shows Carly mercy. But as I think what you said just now of like John brutally murdering the Flag Smashers would be an interesting plot development and something personally I'd like to see. So hopefully that'll happen.
Brutal murder. I'd like to see that.
I sincerely hope the Flag Smashers and Bartok do not make it out of the next episode.
Yeah, no,
so lame.
Well, Bartok is going to be around forever, but the Flag Smashers, there's no way they make it out of this story. I think that if they have John Walker kill the Flag Smashers, it will set him up exactly where his character should be from the comics, where he's doing the, he's kind of like the Punisher. Like he's doing the right, he's doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. And if you think about it, like, sure, he doesn't like Sam and Bucky, and, you know, I'm sure he's very mad at them, but his real gripe is with it, the people who took away who he was. And that wasn't Sam and Bucky. That was America. You know, so he's got something to prove.
Then there will be a scene where it was Sharon Carter all along, yeah. Right? That's going to happen. It's going to be fucking stupid.
I think probably Vision's going to show up and just take everybody out.
That would be good. No, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. We've
been waiting for him to show up, right?
Right, and
they're
and
in New York. Bartok, it makes sense.
Bartok is Mephisto.
Finally. Yes. And probably the after credit scene is like Zemo saying to the guard, like, hey, can I come out of my cell for a little bit? And the guard's like, okay, but don't escape. You think that's likely? A cooler after credit scene would be some kind of confirmation that a bad guy team is being put together. Like, hopefully the after credit scene, they just reshoot the after credit scene from the end of Justice League, where it's Jesse Eisenberg is like, let's put together a team of our own.
Yeah, I think that would probably hold the most weight. I think if I'm being realistic, it's going to be a short little scene of a character that will be like, oh, hey, it's that guy. And then it's not really going to have any consequences in the greater universe. I think it's going to be Zemo talking to his prison guard. And like, you see the beginnings of him manipulating him. Or maybe we find out that the person who's watching him is a character who may be on the Dark Avengers.
Yeah.
Something
with Zemo, maybe the after credits. Like, hey, prison guard, would you like some Turkish delight?
Ba ba black sheep. yeah, I don't think we're gonna see Zemo in this episode. A post credit scene, if they're planning on using him again soon, makes the most sense.
Yeah, I say John Walker does not die. The Flag Smashers will all die, except I would say Carly may survive. I hope she doesn't, because I find her to be so boring. But perhaps she will.
That's it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully it'll be good and not bad. But I think it'll probably be bad. That's my final prediction. The last episode is going to be bad.
I have one last question.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to find out who the power broker is?
Yeah, it's Sharon Carter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it.
Hot take.
Yeah, and she's a bad guy. Well, no, she's like this John Walker. Like she's an amoral, ambiguous guy. She does good and bad for profit.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good place to
stop. Stop.